And a very warm welcome indeed to our Good Friday Communion service. We meet in a very different way today, but we meet nonetheless in his name and knowing the presence of his Spirit with us. And as we meet in our respective homes, we trust that we will, by that Spirit, know that sense of worshipping together as church family on this day, on this amazing and precious day, as we reflect upon the events of that very first Good Friday when our Saviour gave himself upon the cross in such agony, such desperation, yet in the purposes of God and in the wonder of God, the place where we would know our sins forgiven and our lives cleansed. As we continue in worship together, we're going to pray and ask that he would bless this time together to us and that we would know his help in this time. So let's pray together, shall we? Our dear, loving Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you for your amazing, amazing love shown to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life and his ministry. We thank you for his life here on earth. We thank you for the way in which, through acts of extraordinary kindness, through miraculous activity, through teaching and preaching, we saw such an insight into the very life, the very heart of God in our world. And we thank you for his ministry. But Father, today we thank you all the more for that extraordinary work, that wonderful work, that precious work that the Lord Jesus Christ undertook in our place upon the cross at Calvary. We thank you. We thank you for the willingness of our Saviour to go, to die in our place, to take our place, to be there instead of us. Father, these things are too great for us to comprehend, but we thank you that we know they're true from your word, and we rejoice in the truth, and we celebrate the truth, and we thank you with every ounce of our being for all that you've done for us in the Lord Jesus upon the cross. And our Father, we thank you that we can share in this time together around our respective tables, that we can take the bread and the wine. Now, the bread and the wine, such potent and yet simple symbols of the broken body and the shed blood. And our Father, as we do this together on this day, we ask, please, that we would know the lovely presence of your Spirit in our respective homes, and that together we would sense being family in this place. So bless this time to us, we ask. And Lord, by your Spirit, be present with each of us, we pray. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to listen as Andrew shares some thoughts upon the very first Good Friday and what it means for us in these days.
Guys, really good to be able to share together in this way today. This, of course, is Good Friday. The Lord Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And it made me think that in the world today and down through history, that Christians have met together in the familiar surroundings of their home, surrounded by normal domestic life, and in obedience to the Lord Jesus, have just simply eaten and drunk in order to remember him. And in some ways, although this is very different for us this year with the restrictions, and we are united together in Christ, and we are remembering him, and we're doing it in what appears to be the most appropriate way this year. So that's really lovely. When we talked about sharing in this way today, at that very point, a verse from the Bible, a sentence from the Bible came into my head, and it's been with me all the way through, and it's still with me, and I just want to bring that to you now. It's a little verse that you find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. And there the Apostle Paul finishes a section by saying these things: "He who knew no sin became sin for us in order that through him we might become the righteousness of God." And that little verse, it just seemed to encapsulate what we're thinking about this morning. I don't know if you've ever been falsely accused of doing something, Or perhaps you've carried the can for something, taken the rap for something you didn't actually do. And that never feels very nice. It's a horrible thing to happen, to know that actually you're innocent, that you didn't do this thing, and yet to have perhaps the eyes of suspicion cast upon you. And that feeling deep down that no matter how much you declare your innocence, people will still perhaps hold that against you. There's no smoke without fire. And in this little verse, we're being reminded that when the Lord Jesus went to Calvary, something of that was happening, something greater. He who knew no sin became sin for us in order that through him we might become the righteousness of God. We know, of course, that the Lord Jesus was completely sinless. He came into the world in a very miraculous way. He was not touched or tainted by sin. He lived a perfect life. No one could point the finger at him. And yet, as we look at Calvary today, as we remember a broken body and blood that was shed, and he went through the experience of being sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. You know, the Bible's interesting. It gives us the information about the death of Jesus, but it also gives us the explanation. And this verse is a very important part of that, helping us understand what was really happening when the Lord Jesus was dying on the cross. And it's the picture of finance in the bank account in some way. Occasionally, very rarely in my life, but occasionally somebody has said to me, don't worry about paying for this, just give them my name and they'll put it on my bill. And that's a great feeling when someone is so kind and so generous in that way. And you go and you purchase this item or share in this experience, and there's no weight upon you because you know that the other person very graciously said that they will pay the bill on your behalf. And that's something of what is happening here at Calvary. We're being reminded that when Jesus died on the cross, he picked up the tab for our sin, for our failings, for our willfulness, for the way in which we have ignored God and rebelled against him, for the punishment that we rightly deserve for that. Lord Jesus, we see that when he's on the cross, he becomes sin for us in order that through him we might become the righteousness of God. Graham Kendrick, he writes a lovely hymn. It's called The Power of the Cross. We often sing it, and in the song that he writes, he says this. He says, "This, the power of the cross, Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross." He goes on in one of the verses and says, "Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin, every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your blood-stained brow." And it is an incredible thought to think that this morning, how the Lord Jesus, he willingly came into the world and he took upon himself the punishment that we deserve for the sin which is ours. Somebody has put it like this. They've said, "God in his amazing grace treated Christ as the sinner so that the sinner might be treated as righteous." And that's just a wonderful thought to us, surely, this morning, to know that through what Christ has done, as we put our faith and trust in him, that we are forgiven, we're declared innocent, we're part of his family. There are no issues because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us at the cross. So it's a wonderful thing this morning just to be able to share in that and to remind ourselves that it actually does come to us through Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin for us in order that through him we might become the righteousness of God. It's not through the good things that we do or the things that we attend. It's not even through receiving communion that this comes to us. It's through trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ himself, which is really the most important thing. And so we need to ask ourselves this morning as we partake of this, in this time together, we just need to ask ourselves, you know, am I really trusting in the Lord Jesus? And as I remember him this morning, to be just so grateful for all that he has done for us. As he who knew no sin became sin for us, in order that through him we might become the righteousness of God. You know, Guy and I, we haven't talked too much about what we're both going to do in this time. But it's fascinating for me to see that one of the readings that he's going to include a bit later on is from Psalm 32. And Psalm 32 in verse 2 says this: blessed are those whose sin the Lord does not count against him. And this is what we're seeing this morning through what Jesus has done. Because he took our sin, that sin that sin is no longer on our account. It was placed on his account. And we don't bear the burden of that. In 2016, this might seem a bit of a strange connection, but in 2016, Fidel Castro, the late president of Cuba, he died. He was aged 90 at the time. And of course, it was an occasion of great national mourning for that country. And one of its citizens, they said this: for us, he was the biggest thing in the world. I consider him the chief person in all humanity. Why? Because of what he has done for all society. And of course, you can see how that country, they looked to him, and he was their great national leader. But this morning, as we remember the Lord Jesus in this way, we're not just remembering a national figure, a great teacher, an astute politician, a successful business person, a famous celebrity. We come to remember one who is the greatest person in history, because he is the savior of the world. He gave his life in order that we might be forgiven and become part of his great family. So this morning, I trust that as we share together in this time, we'll be really grateful again for all that comes to us through the Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Andrew, very much for those thoughts. As we, each communion service has its constituent parts, and I think work our way through those parts together this morning. And as we come in preparation, it's important that we come and bring our confession to God. Perhaps we're very familiar with the things that we've done or not done that we shouldn't have, that we need to confess. Maybe the Lord needs to show us still. But as we come to the place of sharing the bread and wine, it's important that we bring our confession to him and seek his cleansing and his forgiveness and his restoration. So I want to read a few words. I read them often when we are together in church. These are words of invitation to come to share around the table. We don't come to this place in our own strength or our own righteousness. And these words remind us of that important fact. Together now, come to this table, these tables, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you're strong, but because you're weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would love to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ. It's an invitation to us to come and share together in the bread and the wine. You know, sometimes the Old Testament touches the human heart so powerfully, and particularly the Psalms as they speak of the human condition. And I want to read a few words from the start of Psalm 32. And they really take us into that place of confession and God restoring the soul of those who acknowledge their sin before him. So Psalm 32 from verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. And then these lovely words in verse 7 as we finish. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Some lovely, lovely words together there from that amazing, amazing psalm. We're going to pray together now. We're going to bring our confession. And at the end of that confession, we'll have a few moments of silence when we can share our own thoughts to him in prayer. So let's come, shall we, in prayer together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our fellow men in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. And now let's just take a few moments to bring those things which he's laid on our hearts in confession, and seek that we might repent and know his restoration and cleansing. Let's continue in prayer. Our Father, we bring these confessions to you, and we thank you that you are faithful. And if we bring and confess our sins, that you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, receive our confession. Forgive us and cleanse us, we pray. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as we come in a moment to take the bread and the wine, I just want to read. Well, I think it's almost my kind of go-to passage when thinking about the communion. I just love these words from Mark's Gospel, and I particularly love the end as well, when the Roman centurion brings his confession. So this reading is from Mark 15, and commencing to read at verse 21. Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, and then reading from verse 21. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. "No, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. Just love it. Just love that. Those words from the centurion. Here is this Roman Gentile, not believing, you wouldn't imagine, originally soldier, and he stands and watches and is so perceptive under the direction of God's Spirit and sees and confesses, surely this man was the Son of God. We come now to reflect upon and to share in the taking of the bread and the wine. And as we do so, we're going to pray together. Let's join together, shall we, in prayer as we prepare ourselves to receive the bread and the wine. Our loving Father, we ask, please, that you would help us to remember the agony that Jesus endured in going to Calvary, not just upon the cross, but in all the leading to it as well, knowing that he would be bearing the sins of the world, how heavy his heart, how heavy his soul, how heavy his whole being, heavy his whole being must have been at that time as he walked and took that road to Calvary. Our Father, we cannot know, we cannot understand, we cannot comprehend all that our Saviour endured for us in that at that time and on that road. The beatings, the torture, the agony, and your wrath poured out, and yet all for us. Father, help us to have the right mind as we come to share in the bread and the wine. Help us to have in mind our Saviour's extraordinary death on our behalf. Let these things sink deep into our mind and cause our hearts to realize just how great was the cost that we could know forgiveness and cleansing and go free. Our Father, as we share in the bread and the wine, we ask, please, that you would bless it to us, that it would feed our souls, it would nurture our Christian lives, would strengthen us in our walk in these days. And this we ask in his precious name. Amen. Well, hopefully you have before you some bread and some wine, and you don't need anything elaborate or extensive, just something simple to remember him with. And I'm going to break bread now and then offer the cup to the Lord Jesus. On the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We'll take and eat of the bread. And in the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, the new promise in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink together, shall we? be good at this time of communion as well to pray for those in our family, our church family, that need our prayers at this time. And I'm just going to remain silent for a few moments and just encourage you to pray for those that you know need the Lord's help, particular help at this time. So we join together in prayer for a few moments of quietness, and then I'll just lead us quietly at the end of that time. Our loving Father, these are precious times around your table, and we thank you for the opportunity to be in this place, in this way, at this time. Father, we do lift to you the members of our church family. Father, we pray for those who are grieving and full of sorrow at this time. Father, we pray for those who are anxious of spirit, anxious about the current situation, about family, about finance, about health, about work, about challenges that it brings. Lord, you know the hearts of everyone bowed before you, and we pray that you would minister wonderfully where these needs are most strongly felt. Father, we pray for those who are struggling with ill health at this time, and Lord, many within our church family are in that place. Lord, bring peace and encouragement and healing, we pray. Now, Father, we pray for ourselves that as you feed us in this way, that we would be good and strong witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ in these days. Encourage us in these things, we pray, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. Well, we're going to sing together the lovely song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. So let's sing those words, whether we literally sing out loud or whether we sing them in our heart as we watch the words and listen to the church singing. Let's rejoice in these amazing truths together.
Thank you.
But I hope you found this time helpful in your own Christian walk, and there's a particular help upon reflection upon this day, this Good Friday. I want to bring some words of benediction now as we conclude our time together. Let's pray, shall we? Loving God, we thank you that you have nourished us at this table. We pray for those who hunger and thirst that they may be filled, and that we with them would feast at the table of your eternal kingdom. Father, this we ask through Jesus Christ, who was and is to come, and who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, for ever and ever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for joining with us today. I hope you found that helpful. And as we reflect upon Good Friday and then rejoice as we come to Sunday, I trust that you'll have a very lovely and blessed Easter. The Lord bless you all.